On episode 389 of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Dr. Nikki Steinberger and discuss her book, Wave Goodbye to Type 2 Diabetes. You can find the full show notes for this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/389. Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness? The 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is here for you. I'm your host, Alan Meisner. I'm an NSAM certified personal trainer with a specialization in corrective exercise and fitness nutrition. Let me be your coach as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go. Yesterday, I was piddling around on Facebook and I saw the picture of a friend who died earlier this year. And in that moment, it kind of hit me that of the 97 people that I went to high school and graduated with, three of them have died of heart disease. And this is all before the age of 53. So I'm going to ask you a tough question. Do you carry excess body fat on your belly? If so, you have a 20% higher risk of a heart attack. And because so many of us don't do anything to solve this problem, over a million people in the United States have a heart attack each year. It's the leading cause of death in America. Now, if you're not doing anything about this, you may be on a collision course if you don't correct things right now. Now, imagine having more energy, more stamina, feeling stronger, being better at all the things you want to do. Yes, that issue you're having little blue pill for, that's a sign that you're on the wrong road. Now, you can stay on this path and follow the aging curve where it'll take you, or you can do something about it right now. I want to help you. I want to help you come up with a decision and a plan. I want to help you get there. So if you'll set up a 15-minute consult, completely complimentary, you can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/call. And that will take you to my scheduling link. You can go ahead and schedule something. And we're going to set you on a path to be stronger, leaner, and a better you. You'll leave this call with a plan. And I can't tell you enough. It starts with a decision, and then it takes a plan. And if you don't have a plan, you're not going anywhere fast. So go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/call and make the decision to do something now. Book this free consult. You've got this. You can turn this around. 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/call. Our guest today is the creator of the Holistic Lifestyle Practices approach to reversing type 2 diabetes. With a focus on health psychology, her mission is to help everyday people take back their health and reclaim their joy, vitality, and plenty. With no further ado, here is Dr. Nikki Steinberger. Dr. Nikki, welcome to 40 Plus Fitness.
Thank you so much, Alan. Pleasure being here with you.
I really enjoyed reading your book. It's called Wave Goodbye to Type 2 Diabetes. And one of the reasons that this book was so compelling to me is that up until a few years ago, it was pretty much unheard of for anyone to reverse type 2 diabetes. It was sort of you've got this disease and it's eventually going to rob you of your feet and your kidneys and your life. You're going to balloon up because we're putting you on insulin. And yes, you're just eventually going to die from this. And more people are using healthy lifestyle to reverse and basically cure themselves from type 2 diabetes.
Absolutely. And what you described is the number one myth about the condition that we've been brainwashed to accept and live in fear around. And it just does not have to be so.
And the worst of it, I know you had a lot of statistics in the book, and I'm just like, because you see it everywhere. You walk around and it's like, okay, back in the 80s when I was in high school, you had one or two kids that you would call, overweight. And that overweight, they stuck out because there were just a few of them. And one of my good friends, Barry, was on the football team. Most of the bigger guys were on the football team. And, he's already dead. He was a truck driver and he's already gone. And I don't know that it was type 2 diabetes that took him, but, it was really kind of rare to have someone who had diabetes or know of someone who had diabetes or was obese. And there's some general relations to how that's happening in the body. What's going on? Why are so many of us getting sick with this disease?
Well, it's a testament to the level of the infiltration of processed foods, number one. you know, that is available, that we're consuming, you know, by bucketfuls. And, you know, you can throw in there also technology. We're sitting more, we're on our computers and our devices. So if you pair together, you know, processed foods, tens of thousands of more chemicals, you know, than we had in the 80s, and a sedentary lifestyle, then, you know, we're going to create an environment that hosts a condition such as type 2 diabetes.
Now, one of the things that you had in the book, because, you know, we talk about type 2 diabetes, and as you go, you know, you're on a spectrum, you call it a continuum effectively. And based on kind of my reading of it, the way you approach this is, okay, you're on one end, you're really, really sick. And on the other end, you have this concept called optimal health. So there's a middle ground. Can you kind of talk about that continuum and how that applies to, you know, as you start looking at your health, kind of working your way towards the right end of it, I guess, Rebecca, lack of a better word, but the optimal health end of that spectrum?
Yeah, so chaos of symptoms is basically where we're sick. We don't feel good. We might have different diagnoses. We've got symptoms. Our energy levels plummeted. When we start moving from that place, and just a side note that I find in my experience and research and working with folks, most of us start moving when we either hit bottom or we get super inspired from something, you know, we heard. I try to help people not have to hit bottom, but, you know, we all have different bottoms. So that chaos of symptoms you could, you know, think of as a bottoming out, but a lot of people are living in that state. And then as we move through the spectrum and we start to incorporate these holistic lifestyle practices, we start to feel better. Our symptoms subside, vanish. We can reverse diagnoses. And, you know, like I say in the book, a lot of people will stop there, and it's a beautiful place. It's perfectly fine to stop there and say, hey, I feel pretty good. My diagnosis is reversed, or it's in a place where I can live with it and sort of maintain from that place. There's another level, you know, that I call optimal health. And that is where body, mind, spirit, we're really taking our life, our health, our day-to-day living to an exceptional level. And, you know, that's really defined by each person. I could give, you know, examples of what I found in working with folks, but it really is for you to define for yourself.
Yeah. A lot of clients will come to me, they want to lose, you know, 30 pounds, or, you know, they want to, you know, be able to start doing some things that they couldn't do before. Like, you know, I have one client and he just signed up for this rugged trail run. It's a 6-mile thing. So shout out to Rich on that one. But, you know, so they have a kind of a goal, and then they get to that goal and they're perfectly happy there. They're perfectly happy to say, okay, I reached my goal. Now I just want to maintain this. I don't necessarily want to be, you know, a superstar trail runner. I don't want to go out all the way up to ultras. I don't want to. And I think that's just totally cool, as long as you don't kind of regress. And I think a lot of people will go and do the exact opposite. They'll lose the 10 pounds they want to lose, and then they go right back to eating the processed foods. So, you know, I like the idea that you can kind of ratchet up and down this to find your spot, but just understanding that there is something beyond just that 10 pounds you wanted to lose.
Absolutely. And the thing is, a lot of people don't know what's available. You know, they don't know the level of wellness. And I'm not talking about, you know, running marathons per se, or an intense level of fitness. I mean, that could be in there if that's your thing. And I'm really talking about a holistic body, mind, spirit, being in joy, loving life, waking up, you know, happy to hit the day. Just a real full-bodied way of living.
Yeah, because, you know, the aches and pains aren't there, the symptoms aren't there. Your pulse rate doesn't just shoot up when you're trying to walk up some steps, or you know when you go into the doctor that, you know, your blood pressure is going to come out the way you want it to. Your resting heart rate is going to be what it wants, and when you look at your labs, you're pretty confident and comfortable because the doctor says, you know, you're in good range, you're a good place to be.
That's right. Absolutely.
Now, in the book, you go through and before we freak out, there are 16 of these holistic lifestyle practices. And, you know, as I was going to say 16, wow. But you're very clear in the book. It's like, this isn't a, okay, you've got to do these 16 things and you've always got to do them. This is a get something in and make it stick. If it works for you, keep it. If not, then don't. But you're literally kind of just building on a foundation of, you know, get one or two of these done right, and then the others will kind of fall in place for you.
Absolutely. You know, success is cumulative. It builds over time. And it's not, you know, written to intend you have to do all of these practices. An interesting thing, however, I've found for myself and a lot of people is that after a while, you go, wow, you know, I'm doing like 10 to 12 practices without a whole lot of effort, without like 3 extra hours a day. It's now integrated into my life. It's integrated into my daily. So some of these are 5-10 minutes a piece. So it's very doable, however you do it.
Yeah. And I like yours. Okay. One of them I'll talk about, and we can kind of talk about how you've, I guess for lack of a better word, stacked these. And I call it kind of like habit stacking, but in your case, style. But it's, you have a morning ritual. And so that's number 8 on your practice, is to have this morning ritual in which you're doing the things, like you said, mind, body, spirit, that are kind of helping you along the way. And you're getting this done right after you wake up, which I think is brilliant, because it puts you in such a good place for the day to know that you started off in the right direction. It's sort of like that general. There's a general that says, you know, he's kind of giving recommendations to folks. He says, make your bed first thing in the morning. And if nothing else, mm-hmm. you started your day out exactly the way you wanted to. And I like that. And I like your morning ritual. Will you kind of go through the ritual and talk about some of the other practices that now just fold into that? I guess if I'm looking at it, probably doesn't take you more than an hour of each morning, but you're able to get these things in.
Yeah. And you know, an hour might sound like a lot to a lot of people who don't have an hour in the morning, and we're all in such different places. I am fortunate to have that time, and especially if I wake up earlier. I find that on the days that I don't do my morning practice, just, you know, not quite as whole feeling, as satisfied as those days where I do. Now, I don't beat myself up, because that's just how some days go. Sometimes my practice, as with most people, it evolves, it changes. You don't have to keep the same one for 10 years. One of the first things I do is hydrate. So after waking up, you know, after breaking that fast of sleeping, and we tend to get a little inflammatory at night, you know, while we're lying there, maybe heating up. So I like to, you know, hydrate and flush my system of the toxins with a glass or two of room temperature filtered water. I'll add lemon or apple cider vinegar. And, you know, just that practice, I mean, it's maybe 10 minutes, and it's so, so powerful on so many levels. And the commitment to ourselves that we make when we do a morning practice. I'll often meditate, and that could be 10 minutes, it could be 20 minutes, you know, it varies. I'll read something inspirational. I'll often write a little bit in my journal, and sometimes I don't. And, you know, I got to get out walking. I find that for me, although everything can't happen in the morning, it's very important. I need to move my body in the morning. If I don't, it may not happen. It's likely not to happen later in the afternoon when I'm either tired or it's hot out. I'm in Los Angeles right now. And, you know, we're already in the 80s, which isn't very pleasant for me to move around. So I walk, I put on a podcast, and that's how I find the joy in it. You know, I listen to either writing or health or business, and I walk hills and I walk stairs. And that's, for me, what helps move the needle, you know, for my heart health and my lungs and my mood. And, you know, then I'll do a writing practice often, whatever I'm working on. And of course, I need to eat and bathe, you know. And love will say, when I start my walks, I do affirmations, absolutely critical practice and gratitude, and, you know, just getting the mindset right for the day, you know, and hooked into the direction that I want to be pointed. Because if we don't tame the mind and these old story loops, then we can be going off cliffs that we really don't want to be going down.
Yeah. And if you've been diagnosed with diabetes or pre-diabetes, that this is not a large investment. You know, it's some time, but you know, the way you've done this by stacking these lifestyle practices into, you know, kind of just how you do your morning, you've just put four of them all within your morning ritual, where, you know, you've got the meditation, you got the stress relief, you've got the water, and you got the movement. And I, like I said, I like the way you've structured that so that you're getting those, and you're even using some of that time to do some of the things to just make yourself more joyful, which I think is another important practice or another important thing, which you do go into the book and we'll talk about in a minute. If someone's going to get started with this, you know, I think the water one is probably the easiest to do.
I think so too, you know, and I like how you call it stacking. I haven't thought of it that way, but that's really cool. And that's why I said, before you know it, you're doing five practices, you're doing 10 practices, you know, and they take practice. You know, if there's one word, one concept, one idea that I repeat the most, other than holistic, it is practice. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, it is daily and it's a commitment. And after a while, it is fun and something to look forward to.
Yeah. Well, thank you for using that word commitment, because I talk about that all the time. I'm like, you know, your health, this is it. This is what you've got. We don't take care of our wellness. It's not going to take care of us. And so, you know, making that commitment and saying, okay, I'm going to do this. Now, we're talking about type 2 diabetes. And so it shouldn't surprise anyone at all. You know, obviously we've already talked about the hydration and the lemon water or the apple cider vinegar. It shouldn't surprise them that there's another five of your lifestyle practices that relate specifically to food. Mm-hmm. Do you mind going through those and kind of telling us why each of those is important and how we can approach those as we start to try to build these practices?
Sure. So practice number three is to decrease or eliminate fast converting carbs. These are the carbohydrates that turn to sugar very quickly and spike insulin, you know, put too much work on our pancreas, which releases the hormone insulin, and can lead to metabolic syndrome, which is a cluster of symptoms that leads to prediabetes and type 2 diabetes. So these fast converting carbohydrates are basically our grain flours, you know, and that comes in the form of bread and bagels and pretzels and cookies and crackers and, you know, all of the above. It doesn't matter if they're gluten-free or not. It has nothing to do with that. The distinction is a grain flour versus something like a nut flour from, you know, almonds or coconut. And then our typical desserts, you know, with sugar, that sort of stuff. We just, if we're managing blood sugar and if we are looking at prevention, then we are going to decrease, you know, up to 90% of those sorts of carbohydrates.
Yeah. And I've always told people, because a lot of people ask me this, like, okay, so what are those foods? And you've kind of given us a little bit of a list, but I said, if you have a doubt about a food, and if you've got type 2 diabetes, you probably check your blood sugar on a regular basis. Check your blood sugar before you eat it, and then check your blood sugar about 30 minutes to 45 minutes after you eat it. And that's when you're going to know, because if your blood sugar shot up significantly, your body is surging on it, and that's not a food that you probably want to consume a lot of.
Exactly. You know, and also to mention that these carbohydrates are addictive for a lot of people. So you get hung up in a cycle and that's no fun. Another practice is to eliminate rancid, oxidized industrial seed oils that have just gone crazy in the big food industry. And I'm talking about oils like canola oil and corn oil, soy oil, you know, soybean oil, safflower oil. These oils are highly inflammatory and high in omega-6 fatty acids, where we don't need any more omega-6. We need the omega-3s. We're out of proportion. These oils are just in everything. So if you go to a restaurant, even a high-end restaurant, and you ask them what kind of oil they use, now if they say olive oil, that means nothing. Okay, that means nothing. You have to go the next step. Oh, is it extra virgin olive oil or is it a blend? Because a lot of restaurants are using a blend of olive oil and canola oil because it's cheaper, and they're calling it olive oil. This is in grocery store food bars across the nation, Whole Foods, tons of canola oil, really a crap food bar. So you really have to know your oils. You know, certain oils are healthy, you know, extra virgin olive oil, not to cook it at a high heat, but, you know, put it on a salad or veggies, coconut oil, avocado oil. But all these other rancid oils really have caused havoc to our systems. We are not meant to digest these.
Yeah. And it's, if you've bought some oil, olive oil, and you, I mean, I know we used to do this all the time until I recognized what I was doing. You store it on the shelf right up above the stove. And that's one of the warmest places in your house. And I was like, but, you know, so I'm reading about this. I didn't know, you know, I didn't know. And then I started looking at the labels and saying, okay, is this made somewhere? You know, where is it? And, you know, there's no indication of origin. It can actually say olive oil on the package and not list the other oils, which is insane to me. You have to know you have to know what you're getting. And you, like you said, you kind of like doing a little bit of this detective work. So you scope this stuff out.
Yeah. I mean, I always have to ask, and you just can never assume. I go to the distance of asking to see the olive oil, you know, bottle or container. Oftentimes, you know, restaurants that they'll use, you know, big containers because they're doing volume. So you want to be patronizing places that are forthcoming and have no problem revealing what they're using.
Yeah, I think that's really important. It's hard, you know, it's hard to get on the, you know, get the waiter and say, hey, you know, I'd like to know a little bit about the oils, because that's not what they're trained. I've been a waiter before, and it's like, we know the ingredients that are in most of the dishes, because if someone says they have a nut allergy or something like that, we need to be aware of that. But as you go out there and they start saying, well, okay, what kind of oil? And it's like, well, it comes in this big plastic tub. I don't know. Then sometimes you got to call and say, go to the kitchen, get the kitchen manager out here and let them, you know, go a little bit further with this conversation. But that's a hard conversation to start. But once you get comfortable with the fact that this is your health we're talking about, and the food that you're taking in is such a critical part of reversing this disease or this condition, that you don't really have a choice in this matter. You really do need to know what you're eating.
It's true. And, you know, you say, you know, once you get comfortable, and or once you get sick, and that's that bottom that I, you know, try to help people prevent. But once you get sick and you just can't go there anymore, you know, it's like, hey, I got to know what's in there, you know, and just say medical diet, I got to know what's in there, you know.
Yeah, and, it's like, you know, you pull out your little insulin kit and you say, this is my insulin. Yeah. If I'm eating bad food, then, you know, I need more of this, and I don't want to do any more of this. So if you want me to be your customer and come here on a regular basis, then tell me once, and unless you change it, we're going to keep going. But even you said it, that sometimes you've had products that you really believed in, only to find later that they had kind of done a bait and switch on you.
That's right. And, you know, I think you're referring to the supplements. But yeah, you have to constantly monitor. You have to be that inspector, that detective. You know, it has to mean that much to you.
Yes.
So another practice when we're looking at food is, you know, we're eating these carbohydrates and, you know, there's no one size fits all for any of this. So whatever types of carbohydrates you're going to eat is going to be different for everybody. But the idea that we can wrap or surround some of these carbohydrates with fat, fiber, and or protein to help slow down that sugar conversion in the blood. Now, since I wrote the book, you know, I'm going to lean more toward fiber with the carbs than protein or fat, fat being, you know, after fiber. So in other words, you know, let's say you are having a potato, you know, you're going to be better off with some good veggies with that potato, some, you know, steamed broccoli, and go ahead and throw some, you know, pasture organic butter on there. As far as protein, you know, we don't really want to do protein and starch. So it depends what kind of carbohydrates you're doing. Protein and starch is going to spike blood sugar even more for some people. So it's a little bit of fine tuning in this one. You know, if you're going to have an apple, maybe you put some almond butter with it, you know, and things like that.
Yeah. And that's like I mentioned before, if you really have a question about how food's affecting you and you've got the monitor, just do a little self-test. You know, you try it, you see how it works, you try it. And that's where you can get to that, like you said, that fine tuning of, you know, this is working for me or it is not.
It's true. And, you know, I test myself now 9-10 years after the fact, more now than I did then, because I want to know, you know, if I'm not exactly sure how a combination of foods.
It's really is good to have that data. I mean, because at that point, yeah, then you know. And, you know, if you go out to eat and you're not quite sure what you ate, you know, check your blood sugar and you'll get a pretty good idea of at least what your body thinks you ate.
Yeah, absolutely. Another food practice is to increase raw foods. And I'm particularly talking about vegetables. Fruit is, you know, really, fruit is sugar. So it really depends on where you're at on the spectrum and how you respond to fructose, fruit, sugar. And a general good rule of thumb is to limit your fruit to berries. Organic berries are going to be lowest on the glycemic index. But, you know, we really want the fiber and the living enzymes and the micronutrients, the vitamins, minerals, and enzymes from these raw foods. So, you know, it's, even if we're doing a keto type, you know, based food plan where we're doing high fat, moderate protein, low carbohydrates, very important to get your veggies in. It's always going to be number one in every good food plan or program, you know, as much as you can. And you don't really have to worry about the carbohydrates if they're not starchy veggies.
Yeah, it's interesting. The keto, I guess, community, so to speak, I guess if we could be considered a community, but mm-hmm. folks that are in keto, it just seems like right now there's sort of two movements going on. There's one that's moving towards more of a plant-based keto. So making sure you get those in it. And I tend to be a little bit more leaning to that side of, if your body doesn't have the blood sugar changes for these, which you can measure, have some berries. And actually, as you get your palate changed over time, you'll actually find those berries sweeter and sweeter, because you can start actually tasting the sweetness in them. And then there's this other camp that's going over here to this full carnivore model and mm-hmm. saying, you know, we don't need plants. We can get all we need from animal products. And they're like, so if you're eating this and you're eating, you know, eating the organs and you're eating all that, I'm like, okay, well, okay, great, great. Are you? You know, are yeah. you eating organs regularly? And then what you find when you start talking to a lot of these folks, it's like, no, I'm eating ribeye steaks. Or there's the one group that's the 30-day bacon experiment. They just eat bacon. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I really can't wrap my mind around that. And I'm not ready to have that conversation with you if you think that you don't need new micronutrients. That's just false. And so if you're going to go on a strict elimination diet, you know, track yourself, because it's not going to agree with everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know about the long-term effects of, you know, like the carnivore diet. I know people are getting some good immediate results, but, you know, again, we do need those micronutrients. We do absolutely need the fiber. And, you know, we hear something. I just did a social media post about this. You know, we hear something, whether it's on a podcast or in social media or on a blog, that is working for someone and they're loving it and they're getting great results. And this idea, this flash goes off in our mind, oh, I'm going to do that. That sounds great. That's not really the proper approach. You have to experiment to see what works for you and, you know, not just take that at face value, because we're all unique and different, and we have to find what works for us. Listen to our intuition, our body's cues. Be willing to change things up, and be willing to be doing something different than the person next to you. Bless that person; they're doing what works for them, and you do what works for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'd say, you know, another food practice is to release the processed foods. You know, just like the industrial seed oils, we are not meant to be consuming tons of sugar and candy and all these things in packages and boxes and cans, food-like products. They're not real food. Our system cannot handle them over time. It's hard to grasp it when you're young, when you're in your 20s, even sometimes your 30s, because you're not having symptoms. It's an esoteric idea, you know? And it's a shame, because for many of us, it does hit us, you know, when we're in our 30s, 40s, 50s, and we don't feel good. And, you know, what's available in life is feeling extremely well and being extremely creative. And as we're loading ourselves up with these food-like products, no fault of our own, because we're bombarded with advertising and marketing and a fast-paced, stressed-out culture, but there comes a time where we have to notice and turn things around for the better.
Yeah. As we were going through these, you know, I realized I did the show plan and I sent these over, and I'm kind of scanning down the list here real quick, just as we're going along. And I'm like, ooh, I left two food ones out. You also talk about chewing your food really slowly until it's liquid anyway, and supplements. And so I won't go into too much detail there, but just realized that about half of these 16 practices are around food and managing your food and experimenting with your food and enjoying your food. And, you know, I think it's just really, really important for us to understand and to apply that information and say, hey, you know, when you get this book, because please, if you have type 2 diabetes, please do go out and get this book. You're going to learn a lot about what's affecting you and why it's affecting you, and these practices that you can slowly incorporate into these lifestyles. And there's been a little bit of talk on the internet, like what is disease and what is health, and is health just the lack of disease? And I don't think I'm going out too far on a limb, Dr. Nikki, when I say that no, there's more to it than just not being sick. And you get into the book and about talking about joy, and I do believe that that's kind of one of those next step things. If you're going to go from basically you've reduced or eliminated your symptoms to getting to that point of optimal health, this big joy piece is going to be a big part of that.
Absolutely, and that's why I felt it was critical to put it in the subtitle. You know, at the end of the day, when we say, okay, I want to lose the weight, I want to get the job, have the money, the relationship, I want to reverse this condition or this disease. And if we keep asking why, you know, what's under it, you know, why, then what, then what, and then what, you know, and it comes down to a few basic things, generally speaking, and joy is certainly one of them. You know, we we want to feel joy in our lives. And so many people are walking around moment to moment pretty miserable. And it doesn't have to be that way. You know, I mean, you know, aside from, I'm not going to comment on certain oppressions that make it much more difficult for some people, but mindset is very powerful no matter what. And, you know, I talk about joy and the present moment. And the truth is that 5 minutes ago is now past. An hour from now is not here yet. The reason why really getting intimate with the present moment is so critical is because everlasting joy or sustainable joy is always available in the present moment. It's not fleeting. Now, a moment, you know, 5 seconds ago, that's gone now. That fleeted. But this moment right here, right now, so, you know, we can go outside and maybe we can hear birds or your roosters, you know, and it's the easiest way to access joy without needing anything except the right mindset. This doesn't come from an intellectual idea that you'll write this down when you hear this. This is practice. You have to practice it. And that's why when I go out for my walk, it's part of my affirmations. I'm affirming it. You know, I'm blueprinting it in. I'm changing those old tapes because that's just what the mind does. So yeah, you know, present moment, leave the past in the past. Future, little bit, not too much. And, you know, it's why meditation is so powerful as well. It helps us be in the present moment.
Yeah. You know, like I said, when we first started talking about these practices, because again, they are practices. They are something you're going to have to work on to really incorporate them to a point where they actually do become a part of you, become a part of your expectations, a part of your lifestyle. I think for some folks, it can be a little intimidating. Again, because there's just so much there with, you know, and it's not that you, like I said, you don't have to do all of them. But, you know, I'm the kind of person that says, what's the easiest one? That's how I'm wired. What's the fastest one? So I, you know, okay, the lemon water, I can definitely do that. But how does someone go ahead and get started about, you know, okay, which ones of these really resonate with them the most and where to start?
Yeah, I think, you know, you can start. And I think it's smart to start with one or two that seem easiest, you know, like, you know, hydration in the morning, because we want success, right? We want to be able to check that off and celebrate, you know, acknowledge ourselves. I did that. The smallest successes are important to acknowledge. And we also want to notice that if there are particular practices, you know, that I think about are calling out for more, you know. So let's say it's easy for you. You're already eating a big salad every day, you know, no problem. But when it comes to putting on your walking shoes, whatever kind of clothes you need to wear, getting outside and taking a brisk walk or a hilly walk, of course, depending where you're at in the spectrum of your fitness, if that's something that's just gnawing at you, it's calling out for more, but you keep putting it off, that's also a good practice to jump right into at the level that you are.
Okay. Well, you just hit me in the gut because I was going to say, I think meditation might be the hardest one. so here's my confession. That's the one I would say I struggle with the most. I have done it consistently in the past, but it seems to be the easiest, sometimes the easiest 10 minutes to give up. And I, in a sense, you know, I felt like, okay, and I you know, justified it a little bit and say, okay, well, when I walk, you know, I'm just walking by myself. And, you know, now being here in Panama, you know, the beaches and the jungle and, you know, those types of things that I kind of almost think of that as my meditation. But I do agree with you. I think that that one is one that I probably need to go ahead and step up a bit.
Yeah. And, you know, there's walking meditation too. You don't have to sit. It doesn't have to be traditional, but it needs to be intentional. And, you know, that sounds like a great one for you to jump into. I bet it will become easy after you get over that kind of mind bump that it's difficult.
Yeah. But I do a lot like you do. When I do my walking, mm-hmm. I've got my headphones on and I'm listening to, lately it's been audiobooks, and mm-hmm. I've been leaning towards fiction a lot more mm-hmm. lately than learning. And I need to get back into some of those other books, but, it's just been really cool to sit there and put on a fiction book and kind of just, you know, get out in nature and walk around. But what I'm hearing you say is I need to take those headphones off for at least 10 minutes and be a little bit more intentional and aware and in my space, for that. So that is something I'm going to start
with. And absolutely, a little note on that, you know, I got my headphones and I'm out the door, and before I allow myself to start a new podcast or continue the one that I was listening to, I do my affirmations. It just, sometimes you just got to get it in, you know, you got to get the practice in and do them robustly. You know, usually there's no one around, you don't have to yell, but really express. You know, I'd like the listeners to know, really express yourself. One of the affirmations I say every day is from a book I read many, many years ago called Coming Home by Marcia Nelson. And I say, to the depth of my being, more than anything else today, I choose to experience the love that I am. And sometimes I say it three times. It just, you know, it's amazing how affirmations, gratitude, steering ourselves in the direction we want to go starts to influence our life, you know, our lives in many different ways. And again, it's a practice, and you want that emotional component. You don't want to just say it like a line, you know, take a deep breath and feel it in the body. And simple, such a simple yet very powerful practice.
Well, I completely agree. And all of these, actually, when you break it down, they're none of these are earth-shatteringly hard. Some of them a little harder than others. And but, you know, all of these are worthwhile and worth getting into. So Dr. Nikki, I define wellness as being the healthiest, fittest, and happiest you can be. What are three strategies or tactics to get and stay well?
Okay. Number one is mindset. Number one is always mindset. And a concept that I need people to understand is that we crave what we feed ourselves. We crave what we feed ourselves, not the other way around. It only becomes the other way around when we're in this cycle. So once we can push through this place of, you know, letting go of these cravings for, let's say, sugar, we will start to crave what we're feeding ourselves. And this is important to know because it puts us in the driver's seat, co-participating in the wellness of our life. We're not just, you know, a victim to, you know, I couldn't say no to that. I couldn't resist it. And it's this really difficult place to be. So understand we crave what we feed ourselves. The feeding comes first. And once we break through that cycle, it becomes a lot easier to really enjoy food and high nutrient dense nutrition. Number two, you got to work your affirmations, like we're just talking about. It's a daily practice. It's so simple. It's so powerful. It can be 5 minutes. Without this, we're likely to be stuck in our old stories, our old loops, riddled with fear, riddled with doubt and self-sabotage. So we need to be co-participating in the health of our mind, right? Because we're holistic, body, mind, spirit. And number three, I would say, you need a program. When I say program, I'm not talking about something expensive. I don't even mean somebody else's program. I'm not talking about you have to go to the gym. I'm talking about you need a program. Similar to like a morning practice is part of a program. It's a place where you're committing yourself. It's a place where you know you're going to go. You do not have to be perfect. We're not expecting perfection. That's silly. But whether you create your program or you reach out and you get support, you're a co-participant in your program. We can't just be floundering around with the level of toxicity and inflammation, you know, available to us today. If we want to be well, if we want to step out of the chaos of symptoms, if we want to reverse conditions and diseases, and if we want to move toward optimal health and really the kind of potential that's available to us, we need a system, a routine, you know, sacred ritual, however you want to call it.
Well, I like those. Thank you. So Dr. Nuki, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, learn more about the book, Wave Goodbye to Type 2 Diabetes, or all the other stuff that you're up to, where would you like for me to send them?
Okay, so the book is available on Amazon and, you know, Wave Goodbye to Type 2 Diabetes. It's available paperback and ebook, audiobook coming soon. And then for your listeners, if you want to connect with me, learn more about my teachings, work with me, if you want to hear about podcast episodes and videos, blog posts, and my next book, which I'm starting to work on, the best way to do that is to get on my email list. That's where I share the inside stuff. And the easiest way to do that is to go grab my checklist that I created. It's called Blast Out Type 2 Diabetes with 12 Simple Lifestyle Practices. You can also use it for prevention. And some of these practices are out of the box, so they might surprise you. And you can get that at drnickisteinberger.com/blast. And that's drnickisteinberger.com/blast.
Okay. Well, you can also go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/389, and I'll be sure to have the links there. So Dr. Nuki, thank you so much for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful speaking with you, Alan.
Still there? The fact that you are still there tells me that you've already made the decision that you want to get healthy and fit. And I commend you for that. That is the biggest, hardest first step, is deciding that you want to change. But you have to have a plan. Do you have a plan? Now, I came up with a process called the Wellness GPS. It's a three-step process that helps you put together that plan. I'd like to walk you through this on a free, complimentary, no obligation, 15-minute consult. Go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/call. 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/call. And on that, it'll take you directly to my scheduling link. You can book a time that's convenient for you. We get on a conference call together and we talk through what your goals are, what your aspirations are, what you want out of your health and fitness journey. And I help you put together a plan that will get you there. Go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/call and reclaim your health today. Next time on the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we're going to have a solo episode, I Am Human. Until then, have a happy and healthy week.